barrel and live. Actually, the first theory. But she did live. So by way of making conversation with the kids as I was trying to get their interest, I said to them, how many of you kids would like to see your teacher go over the falls in a barrel? I fully expected to see every hand go up, but believe me, there was only one hand went up. And there was a snicker went through the crowd, and I wondered, what have I said incorrectly? And it bothered me. Well, when the service was all over, somebody came to me and they said, do you realize that that kid who put up his hand was being homeschooled by his mother? Just a note of warning to you homeschoolers, should there be any present. But it's a joy to be here. We love Joe and Anne, and we've enjoyed them over the years as we've fellowshipped with them, and I've had the pleasure of ministering along with Joe. And now it's a delight to be here in Joe's hometown. Mentioned to the folks yesterday at the study that I almost accepted a job in Sault Ste. Marie years ago. The circumstances in our lives at that time just eliminated that possibility. So I almost became a neighbor of somebody, but I guess that's to your advantage that I didn't. Joy to be with you, and we look forward not only to ministering this morning, but certainly this evening. One of my favorite themes this evening. I'm not going to tell you what it is. But I encourage you to come and sit. This morning, I'd like to speak on the subject of pardon for paradise. We're going to turn to the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 23. We're going to look at verse 32. The Gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, in the New Testament, and we look in at verse 32 of chapter 23. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. When they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand, and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself. If he be the Christ, the chosen of God. Soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, if thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. The superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew. This is the king of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which was hanged railed or blasphemed him, saying, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. The other answering rebuked him, saying, dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. May God bless the reading of his word as we just pause to pray. Holy, holy Father, please presence thyself here in this chapel, wherever dear ones gather for thy word, the children and we as adults, please speak to us today. Draw dear ones to Christ to know the joy of sins forever forgiven. We pray in our Savior's precious name. The year is A.D. 30. It's early spring in Jerusalem. Jerusalem, the city which is really the religious hub of the planet. 1 million people have ascended upon that city for one purpose, to keep the feast of the Passover. It's an important festive occasion in the history of the people of Israel. But on that same occasion, 3 men are to be crucified. They will be crucified at a place called Calvary. It was often called the place of a skull for several reasons. It looked first like a skull. And often men who had been crucified, their bodies were left on the hard, rocky terrain to be picked clean by the vultures and other birds. And there were skulls that were strewn around the place. This was Calvary. Of the 3 that were to die that day, all having been nailed to a cross, their respective crosses, it appears that the one on the middle cross must have been the worst criminal of all. He's the most battered, broken, distorted. Bible says his visage, his face, was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. Seems to me that Pilate, the Roman governor, the procurator, had an intent to identify the Lord Jesus that day, for he commanded that a sign be placed above the head, the thorn-crowned head of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that sign read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." And so people who would pass by Calvary that day would look up at the 3 dying. They would say that unrecognizable form is Jesus, the one who loved the children, kissed them, embraced them, the one who gave sight and hearing and even life itself to those who were in desperate need. But as you and I draw close to the cross in our imaginary trip, we'll notice, as we do, that the cries, the curses, the ridicules of the bloodthirsty throng is now subsiding. And as we draw close, we realize that there is dialogue between the 3 on the crosses. We'll examine it in more detail in a few minutes. Seems, however, that there is a greater degree of concentration or discussion and conversation between the Lord Jesus and one of the men who hangs at his side. 9 o'clock in the morning, that very morning, 2 thieves on either side of the Lord Jesus had been held screaming as nails were driven through their hands, through their feet. They're about to die. Not long after they had been crucified, possibly 6 hours, the legs of the thieves were broken to hasten their death, and they died. One went to paradise. The other went to hell. Calvary is a place of division. It's the greatest of all divides. This man, who hung at the side of the Savior and went to heaven, had never been baptized. Never been baptized. This man who died at the Savior had never joined a local church. His name never appeared on a church roll. He'd never experienced confirmation as is practiced today. This man confessed his sins to no priest, although there were many of them there at Calvary that day. He did not confess his sins to a priest. He did no penance. He paid no tithe. He did not claim to be an outstanding citizen, a self-righteous individual, worthy of God's blessing. This man would die and go to heaven. Interestingly, he heard the gospel from an unsaved blasphemer on the other side of the Savior. That man said, "He saved others. Himself, he cannot save." So it was. The Lord Jesus Christ had indeed, through his lifetime, saved many who turned believing to him. But he wouldn't save himself. Had he saved himself, there would be no salvation for you and me. He died a king crucified to save a poor sinner like me. The sun that had risen in the eastern sky is now almost at its apex. It's noon hour. Something strange happened. There's a darkness settles in over Skull Hill. A darkness that I cannot penetrate. There in that darkness, three men will die. Before he dies, one of those thieves, one of those malefactors, as the Bible calls him, will confess he's a sinner and ask forgiveness. He will say, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus will say, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." He would go to heaven. He would be with the Lord Jesus himself. This man, think about it now. This man who was nailed screaming to a cross was on his way to hell. Shortly thereafter, on his way to heaven. And that can happen to you. It happened to him. It happened to me. I was a young man brought up in a Christian home where the gospel was known and loved. And I turned my back on it. I wanted to do my thing. The year was 1943. It's a long time ago now. And I left home to join the Air Force. On the 27th of February, 1944, having been burdened about my sin, you know, I'd seen life. I'd seen these fellas that would come home after a night in the town and they'd be sick all over their bunk, try to tell me the next morning they had a great time. You know, if I was having a great time, there was something I just wasn't getting. But God started to deal with me, and I realized I was a sinner. And I was going to hell. And more than anything else, I wanted to know my sins forgiven. And on the 27th of February, that Sunday evening, I walked to the closest gospel hall that I knew. It was Seymour Street Gospel Hall in the city of Vancouver. And you know, as I walked down Seymour Street, there wasn't a car in front of the building. You know what a young fellow raised in a Christian home thought? Jesus has come, and I've missed salvation. And that could happen. Could happen today. I walked closer to the gospel hall, walked up the exterior stairs, opened the door. To my relief, it was open. And I looked in and all I saw was three elderly ladies. Three old ladies never look so good to a teenager in all his life. Jesus hadn't come. There was still hope for me. That night, a dear little Irishman by the name of Robert McCartney took his big Bible and preached the gospel. Jesus, being wearied with his journey, sat thus at the well, John chapter 4. He said, maybe there's somebody in the company. And Jesus has taken a long journey. And he's gone after one single solitary sinner. And that sinner was in the very back row in the Air Force in the floor. Oh, God dealt with me. And I realized at the end of that service, I had to be saved. My request to the little man with a big Bible read verse after verse till he came to John 3:16. He said to me, Arnett, will you quote John 3:16? I could have done it. But that night as he read it, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I read. I looked. And I said, Mr. McClurkin, I believe that. I believe it with all my heart. And that night, Arnett McIntyre turned to the Lord Jesus Christ and received everlasting life. How many years ago? 54. And you know what? I've come through 54 years of life and I wouldn't change it for anything. I have Christ. What want I more? I can say with the old hymn writer, take the world, but give me Jesus. All its joys are but a name, but his love abideth ever through eternal years the same. Do you want life? It's available this morning. And there are some here this morning, and you have accepted Jesus just like I did. You've known the joy of your sins forgiven. You know, I've come through the various stages of life, the teens, the 20s, the 30s, and right on up. And I have proven that there is nothing like knowing Christ. The comfort of it, the strength of it. Some time ago, as a family, we came through a major crisis. There was one verse in Scripture, and it's Psalm 50, verse 15, and this is what it says. Call upon me in the day of trouble. Period. No, just a comma. And I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. So whatever the experience is today, dear one, you look to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's your Savior. He wants to bless you. And Psalm 50, verse 15, will be a great encouragement for you. He wants to bless. He wants to keep. He wants to care. I pray that God will bless you. But look at this name with me. In the 20 minutes that remain. Three things I want you to notice. He was dying. It was game over. Game over. This man, in spite of the fact he was dying, was discerning. Something he realized. Finally, he was delivered. What a time at which to be delivered. You know, the final sands are going through the hourglass. And this man turns to Jesus. And Jesus accepted him. Just as he'll accept any self-confessed sinner. This dying man, he owned up to two things. The legality of his sentence. Verse 41, he says to his partner in crime, We deserve justly. We receive the due reward of our deeds. He said, using the language of Scripture, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. I'm getting what I deserve. Ever realized you were a sinner? Don't like to admit to it, do we? A friend of mine, it's a fact. You know why I know it's a fact? This book, this holy book of God, says that all of sin and come short to the glory of God. A-L-L, all. Your name's there, and so is mine. But not only do I know that I'm a sinner, because God said it. But you know how I know I'm a sinner? Just the same way you know. I've got a conscience. When I do something, when I say something, when I think something that I shouldn't, the alarm bell goes off. And I know I've sinned. And I don't need a PhD in theology to realize I'm a sinner. I know it. Not only do I know it, you know it. A friend of mine, your family knows it. They've seen you in action. They know you're a sinner. But you know what's worse? God knows. Friend, God knows. God knows if you're a sinner. And God can't take sinners to heaven. It's impossible. Is anything too hard for God? It's impossible for Him to take unconfessed, unforgiven sinners to heaven. It can never happen. When men and women acknowledge their sinnership, He's prepared to take them to heaven. Not only did this man acknowledge and own up to the legality of his sentence, he deserved to die. He said, it's our deeds. It's our deeds. It's our sins. Putting it in the Bible's language. And there is no escaping sin. Other than through the atoning blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. This man had sinned. You know what? This book, this holy God-breathed book, it says, the wages of sin is death. I don't believe that. Well, really, it doesn't make any difference whether you do or not. God said it, and it's true. The wages of sin is death. Sin and its penalty, sin and its guilt must be paid for. Either in the person of the Lord Jesus, who died on the cross for you and me, or if you reject that payment that He has made, you've got to pay it yourself. And that means the eternal burning forever and ever. It is appointed, says the Bible in Hebrews 9:27. It is appointed unto men once to die. You know, men can deny everything else, but they can't deny someday they die. They deny the existence of God, but they die. They deny the forgiveness that's found in Christ, but they die. They deny a creator, but they die. But after death, the judgment. Friend, just as men die, so the unsaved dead will stand before God to be judged for their sins. John, we noted yesterday in Revelation 20 verse 12 said, I saw the dead, small and great. The great men, the insignificant men and women of time stand before God to and the books will open. God keeps records. He's got the computer of all computers. He's got a record of it all in his very presence. Psalmist could say of himself, I was shapen in iniquity and in sin did my mother conceive me. He was prepared to acknowledge he was a sinner. Against thee and thee only, he said, have I sinned. Friend, as lovingly as I know how, I must tell you in the light of eternity, you're a sinner. And God can't take you to heaven in that state. But if you are prepared like this man, to say, I deserve the due reward of my deeds. If I got what I deserve this morning, as an individual, Arnett McAfee would be in hell. But I will never be there. Because one day Jesus Christ died for me. He paid my price. This morning, as he has offered me salvation 54 years ago, I enjoy it to the full today. But it's even better what is to come. This man acknowledged his sin. He knew he was guilty. And time was running out. And he was going to plead guilty before the judge of the universe. The one who hung on the middle cross. Each of us must plead guilty. Either in time. Or in eternity. It's going to happen. Dear one, this morning, it's going to happen. If you die without Jesus, you'll find yourself condemned already in his eternal presence. But this man had a load of sin. He said, it's our deeds. And sin flashed on the screen of his mind. How about you? Think of it for a moment. Are you a sinner? You know you're a sinner. Even as I speak, you can envisage those sins that you have committed. You know you're guilty. How solemn. Isaiah said 59 verse 2, your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you. Friend, I wouldn't be in your position this morning for all the wealth of this vast world. The Lord Jesus Christ also once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. That's why he suffered. He suffered for you. He suffered to bring you to God. If you don't believe that, he can't bring you to God. But this morning, come as you are. Tell him you're a sinner. This man, who's dying at the side of the Savior, is the man who will be pardoned for paradise. Will you? This man was a discerning man. There's a dialogue taking place between the two thieves. The man who will repent and turn from his sin now is looking to the other side of the Savior. But then I think his gaze comes back to the middle cross and he says to his colleague in Christ, this man has done nothing amiss. Has committed no sin, no crime. And he looked at that thorn-crowned Savior and realized here was his only hope. He saw a contrast between himself and the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the hour of death, he realized that the one on the middle cross was the one who could save him and take him to be with himself. He said to Jesus, Lord, remember me. Lord, remember me. God, the open door of heaven is wide open. This man was prepared to take advantage and enter. Friend, your only hope of heaven is here today in the unseen person, the Spirit of God, the Lord Jesus. He wants to be your Savior. And all He awaits this morning is a confession from your lips. Lord Jesus, I am a Savior. And I believe with all my heart that when you died for me. And if you will do that, salvation will be yours. The Savior said, or at least the Word of God says in Isaiah 45, verse 22, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is no other. Look as the dying thief looked. Way back in Israel's history, you likely remember the story. The people of Israel had complained against the God who had blessed them. And God sent among them serpents with their venom. And they bit the people, and many people died. And Moses went to God and he said, you've got to do something. So God said, Moses, you take a piece of brass and fashion it like a serpent and put it on a pole and put that pole in the middle of the camp. And then send the word through Israel and its camp to look to that pole, and anybody who looks will live. And so the message goes forth. And the message is simply that look to that serpent and you'll live. Did that serpent have magical powers? No. But for everyone who took God at his word and looked to that serpent, he lived. Why? Because he believed God. The Lord Jesus says to you, look, I died for you. Lord Jesus said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, and he is lifted high. This morning, for all who look, and millions will hear the message this morning around the seas of planet, and I'm confident many will believe. As the word is presented, and they will look not to a serpent of brass, but they will obey the word of God, and they will look for the Lord Jesus by faith on the cross, and believe when he died for me. Friend, will you this morning look to the Savior? Then, this man listened to Jesus. A few moments before the passage that we read, the Lord Jesus had seen men take his garment and at the foot of the cross gamble for it. What did the Lord Jesus do? He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. I think that thief at the side of the Savior reasoned like this. This man calls God his Father. And if God is his Father, he must be the Son of God. I'm dying at the side of the Son of God. And so, when he turned to the Savior, small wonder he would address him as Lord. And he says, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Friend, what did he do? He put himself at the total disposal of the Son of God. I'm a sinner. You can do with me what you want, but oh, will you please take me down? God, the Lord Jesus Christ, heard the prayer of that dear man. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He looked at the thorn-crowned Savior. He saw the contrast between himself and the Lord Jesus. And he was prepared to throw himself, as it were, completely at the disposal of Christ. There was another man, and he prayed. And this was his prayer. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Just a sinner. Just a sinner, but be merciful to me. Beautiful hymn we sometimes sing. It was written by a university professor. The professor was walking across the campus one day, and one of the young students he knew to be a Christian passed him, and as he did, the young fellow spoke to him. Like many a professor, he was lost in thought, and he didn't hear him. Word got back to the professor that the young fellow felt he had been snubbed by the professor. The professor went to his office with a broken heart that one would think that of him, put his pen to paper, and this is what he wrote. Not have I gotten, but what I received. Grace hath bestowed it since I believe. Boasting excluded. Pride I abase, I'm only a sinner, saved by grace. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He saved one dying on a cross at Calvary. And he's prepared to save one or more this morning in Queen Street Gospel Chapel. If only you'll acknowledge your sinship. But this man, who looked to the Savior, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Will you call on the Lord this morning? That's all this man did. From the position of a sinner, he called and he learned that Christ would hear his prayer and his plea and take him to heaven. He said to Jesus, Lord, remember me. Remember me. I'm one of those sinners for whom you're dying. Please, remember me. This man could only cast himself, as it were, on Christ. After all, friend, where do you go when you're nailed to a cross? Where else do you go? But to the man who hung on a cross, there with you and for you. And so this man had faith that Jesus was dying. But not only that, this man had faith that Jesus was going to live again. Lord, take me. The Lord Jesus said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. This man was pardoned from his guilt and pardoned for eternity. The Savior said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. He had faith that Jesus was going to live again. Friend, let me ask you, you're going to live again. You are. This book says you will. But where? Someone asked a friend if he would accept the Lord Jesus as Savior. And that person said, well, I'll get saved, but I'll just be like the dying thief. His friend said, which one? Which one? See? It's one or t'other. Which will it be? Oh, I pray that this morning you will acknowledge your sinnership and know the joy as you walk out that door that you're on your way to heaven, God's heaven. This man was pardoned for paradise. Will you be? You know, we sing at times that beautiful hymn, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. It was written by a man who once trafficked in slaves, John Newton, the worst of criminals. John Newton was dying, and there was a young man that he had befriended and was discipling. That young man sat at his side, and the tears were flowing fast down his cheeks at the thought of losing a man he deeply loved. John Newton turned to him and said, "My son, I'm going to heaven. You'll soon follow me. Now look, I'll tell you where you'll find me. I'll be sitting at the feet of the repentant thief. That's where I'll be. That's where I'll be at home, in the presence of a man who was once a thief." God saves thieves. God saves murderers, rapists, adulterers, liars, thieves, you name it. He saves them, and he fits them for heaven. Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Friend, in a moment, Mr. Reese is going to lead in our closing hymn. But I want to invite you to the Savior. Tell me somebody who loves you more than me. None. He died for you. This morning he offers you everlasting salvation. Won't you come to him? You don't need to raise a hand. You don't need to shed a tear. You don't need to get down on your knees. But what you must do is say, "Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I know it, and you know it. But right now I'm going to repent of those sins. I'm going to turn around, turn from them, and I'm going to live for you. Lord Jesus, I'm doing it right now. Please receive me. And on the authority of this book, John 6:37, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out." Let me give you another rendering of that verse. This is what it says. There's a triple negative, and I know you're not interested in triple negatives, but this is what it says. Jesus said, "Him that cometh unto me, I will never, no never, no never cast out." He comes. That's all you have to do. Right where you are. Let's pray. Father, thank you so very, very much for the Lord Jesus. From the bottom of our hearts, we love him today. We'd like to pray your blessing now on every friend who's with us. May there not be one person go out that door before they trust the Savior. We pray in our Savior's precious name.